welcome back. Here we are. I hope you've settled into season three, well underway.
Of the Generally Spooky podcast.
That is what this is. That is where we are.
If you are a professional podcaster, you should say the name of the podcast right at the beginning.
Generally Spooky podcast.
Yes. With Kieran and Ailey.
That's me and you.
Your Highland plonkers.
Bringing you all the best shite since this year.
All the best shite.
No, last year. It's just been less than a year.
How are you doing?
I'm very well. Unless you're asking the listeners, in which case. Okay, that's fine.
I'm so glad to hear that. I've been worrying about you. Mm-hmm. You know, new year, new me, it can get a lot.
It can be a lot.
I like to check in with you.
Yeah.
Just to ensure that you're actually okay.
For instance, the person who's having a new year, new me, who was out for a jog, that Odin started following, and then she turned around, saw him following her, and then just carried on running.
Right. Akira and I had a whole debate, and so maybe you could weigh in on this.
I had to run after this runner to get my dog back.
So if you are either a dog walker or a runner, maybe you can comment and say how you feel about this. If you are a runner, and this runner had a dog with her, yes. So you're a runner, you're out for a run, and you notice that someone else's dog is following you.
Playing with your dog.
Do you A, stop and obviously give the dog a cuddle, but stop until this dog's owner catches up to you? Or B, which is what this woman did, you just continue to run.
Yeah, she just turned around, saw the dog, went, whose dog's that? Saw me, so I waved and she waved back and then just carried on running.
In my mind, that's lunacy.
I know.
I don't understand.
Thank God she wasn't running very fast, because I had to like sprint after her up this hill she was going up.
Kieran's asthmatic.
Yeah, it was very cold.
That's also an issue. And, you know, if you know anything about Odin from what we've said on the podcast, he just followed her the whole time, because he wanted to play, and he wanted a cuddle, and he was going to get one.
He was off the lead, which is normally fine at, unless there's another dog, because he has to go and see and play with the other dog.
Yeah, he's not, like, aggressive or anything.
No,
he will go over and play.
Yeah,
and then it's impossible to get him back because he would much rather play.
Because she was having her headphones in, probably doing the couch to 5k, plodding along, and she stopped walking because she didn't hear me shouting the dog or anything. Like, well, that's fine. She doesn't know I'm here.
That's fair. That can happen. That's an honest mistake.
So she's just jogging off. And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, I'm going after her. And she turned around and saw me. Like, oh, thank God she saw me. Waved. And just carried on. What are you doing?
So please weigh in on every social media platform that you can find, because I'm curious to know if it's just us who think that that's an obvious error.
Yeah, because, you know, I shouldn't have had the dog off the lead, arguably,
without being there willing
to go and get him.
Mm-hmm. Which I did. That's completely valid.
But,
I wonder where people weigh in on this pressing issue.
So anyway, new year, new you, new podcast, new season. Here we are. So what's going on?
Well, Kieran, I have a very big episode for us today.
Ooh.
Now, if you have clicked on this episode and you're listening, you know ahead of Kieran what we're going to be talking about.
You do, yeah. I don't know yet.
Kieran has no idea. All Kieran knows is that I have 20 pages of script.
Okay. I think it was like 40 pages for the Mary Queen of Scots episode.
Yeah, that was kind of a lot.
So we're not... We're not going to the longest,
no,
in theory.
But 20 pages of script is a lot.
It's decent. It's more than last episode, the first episode.
Which was all about Marion Walker and Margaret Aitken. You should definitely go listen, because it's a really interesting story.
Yep. And you should then go over to Patreon, because we had like a follow-up chat about it afterwards.
It was kind of like an episode debrief. Mm. Like a behind the scenes, us chatting immediately after recording.
Yep.
It should be up on Patreon.
Yeah, all things...
Fingers crossed.
All things going to plan, that's on Patreon.
I mean, no promises. At the moment, I have no idea how we're going to get anything done. But
yeah, because it's like January 17th here.
But hopefully, this is coming out February 18th.
Yeah.
So...
Who knows? We'll wait and see. It'll be fine. It'll be there. So what do we have today?
Well... I like having a mixture of episode topics every season.
The old pick a mix.
Yeah. I like having a mixture of stories that you might have heard of and stories that you've never heard of and stories you've definitely heard of.
Yep.
I think it makes it more interesting.
Yep.
And I think even you might have heard of this one, Kieran.
Me?
Because it's huge.
Hmm. Is it a battle?
No.
Hmm.
This one is kind of a blend of folklore and history.
Okay.
Which I did, I revealed that to you when I was researching.
You did, you did. I was listening, yes. No further questions, yes.
You should see the grin that Kieran has on his face right now. He can't even hold it in.
I don't know then.
Today,
mm-hmm.
we're talking about Sonny Bean.
Never heard of it.
You've never heard of Sonny Bean?
Never heard of it.
Never, ever. Not even in like primary school.
I don't
never,
think so.
Ever.
Maybe.
Oh, man. I almost feel privileged to be the one to tell you this story. I thought this was like a staple.
No. How do you spell it?
S-A-W-N-E-Y and then Bean. As in baked.
No, they're done that.
No.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
No. Maybe once you tell the story, I'll know the story.
Probably. I would be extremely surprised. More so than usual.
Well, I mean, my gaps in knowledge know no bounds, so.
Well, see, that's the weird... This is a complete sidetrack. That's the weird thing about you, is you... I'm just going to out you.
I know.
It's a really weird thing, because there are some, like, super basic things that I assume... Everybody knows just about like pop culture
mm-hmm.
and figures from history and just general facts. You know, like how I know what the birds are called.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Stuff like that. That I assume everyone knows. And then I talked to Kieran about it and he just has this like glazed expression. There's nothing going on. I know there's no recognition, but my brain will not allow me to accept that, you know, Kieran has never heard of the Spice Girls. He's never heard a Spice Girls song or...
I've heard of the Spice Girls, just a song will be playing. You'll be like, oh, that's the Spice Girls. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that.
See, that's madness. That's absolute madness.
I have heard of the Spice Girls, though.
But you know, but there are major things like that you have never heard of before.
Yes.
That was just an example.
Yeah, as well as every actor and actress's name.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's a running game whenever we watch a movie or TV show.
Mm-hmm.
If you can tell me what that person is called, you get like a point.
Yep. And like we watch Friends quite a lot. We've watched through it several times on Netflix. And I often
we were both born in the 90s.
Yeah. And I often can't tell you the main six actors' names. Actors and actresses.
Which again is madness to me.
Yeah.
Because
it's on the screen every time. Like, I know. I'm
but
not
even
looking.
Like culturally to you, that you should know what they're called.
Let's go for it. Courtney Cox.
Uh-huh. That's it.
Matt LeBlanc. okay. I'm on the spot now.
That's two of six.
Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. Halfway there, baby.
You got Joey, obviously.
You've already said Joey.
Oh, that's my blog, isn't it? I'm not looking so good. Then it's just Phoebe Ross and I've even forgotten who I haven't said yet.
He's your favourite. Chandler!
Chandler.
Oh, I really wish that I could like whisper into the microphone right now and tell you that this is completely put on. But it's not.
What's Chandler's
This is the basis
name?
Of so many arguments.
And
I'm actually kind of glad that this is happening real time so other people can see what I live with. All right, come on. Phoebe, Ross and Chandler.
Yeah, Phoebe, Ross and Chandler.
Just imagine the opening credits. The names flash up every time.
I know. I know the names exist.
Well, good.
Just what are they, though? Don't know. It's gone. It'll come to me.
Okay. Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, yeah.
Matthew Perry. And David Schwimmer.
David Schwimmer, I had nothing on. I knew Matthew Perry was an M name. But, yeah, I've even named them before.
Yeah, like we've done this so many times.
Yep.
And it just doesn't go in.
Yeah, it just doesn't. It just falls out again.
But.
Anyway.
Do you know how many Roman philosophers Kieran can name? a lot.
You know, good old Demosthenes, Cicero, Marcus Aurelius, they're all there. All the classics.
You just Seneca. Need a different version of Friends.
Yeah.
You need a show where all of these people are friends, yeah. And then you can talk about them.
Part of the problem with Friends is I learn their names as their character names, and I just struggle to... I struggle with the names generally.
But then you say that as your defence, but you forgot about Chandler.
I did forget about Chandler. It's because I was on the spot.
You forgot about Chandler.
Anyway.
He is famously your favourite.
Anyway, he
and
is.
And your life inspiration.
So we're talking about Sonny Bean?
Well, yes. So that perfectly illustrates your aforementioned gaps in knowledge, where there are some things that I assume everyone knows, and you don't.
Yep, they just disappear. Don't know, sieve for brains.
I think you just have different priorities. I think the information you have in your head is far more useful than the information I have in my head. But you know what I don't need to know? The names of every member of S Club 7.
You don't need to know that.
It's in there.
It's in there, it's locked in. You do it with songs too, like a song, I'm like, oh, I haven't heard this in like 15 years. And then you'll perfectly recite all the lyrics. And we'll listen to a song every day in the radio, and I'll get the lyrics wrong.
Yeah, you'll be like, oh, what's that song called? Like, it's in the chorus. He says it like 7 times.
I feel so outed.
I know, you've been revealed. I've exposed you.
But I have the editing power. I could cut this all out.
It's too funny, I know you won't.
Nah, it's too
you're
good.
You're not going to edit it. This is gold.
So Sonny Bean.
Yeah, so Sonny Bean, you've never heard of him before?
Don't think so.
Well, if you have heard of him before, you're listening to this, there's a good chance you're already a little creeped out at the prospect of this story. And even if you have heard this story before and you're familiar with it, I'm going to be going over some theories and some like commentary on this tale that maybe you haven't heard before. So I'm hoping there's something for everybody. But we're going to start with the story of Sonny Bean. And then we're going to discuss why everything might not be as it seems.
Okay.
Just a little teaser for you there.
Teaser, yeah.
Get you hooked. Now, this is a funny coincidence, but we're still in the reign of James VI.
You just love him.
We're still here. I hate
him. All about James VI.
I hate him.
1580 to 1652.
I can't remember.
Don't know. Took a shot. That'd be like 70 years. That's not going to be
it
right.
It was like, I think it was the 1630s he died. It was 16... No... I don't know.
Doesn't really matter.
That'd I should know it by now.
That'd be funny, though, because that's when there was 30 years until the next great witch hunt. So you were saying in the last episode, which would take you to the 1630s. So I wonder if it happened after he died or upon his death. Or maybe just before. Maybe that's what got him. The witches got him.
Well, I think the third great witch hunt, I think, or one of some of the ones that came after, I think part of it was all of the upheaval with Charles I, I think he came next. And it was everything that he was trying to change with religion. Because a lot of the witch hunt, this isn't related to this episode at all, but all of the witch hunts seem to coincide with general stress, upheaval, unease, conflict. That's what brings this out in people.
Makes sense.
And I think either the third or the fourth one was when Charles was trying to change the dominant religion and the problems with the Covenanters and everything like that. So it could well be, I'm not sure. But we're still in the reign of James VI. Now, I don't have an exact year to mark the start of this gruesome tale. But late 1500s to early 1600s. That's where we're at. And this is when a man called Alexander Bean was born in East Lothian, which is to the east of Edinburgh on the coast, if you're unfamiliar. And he was born to hard-working parents. His dad was a ditch digger and a hedge trimmer.
Very good.
And he worked very hard to support his family. They weren't wealthy, but they managed to get by. And as a result of working so hard, Alexander's father built up a good reputation throughout the area. And he ended up being relied on by a lot of people because they knew that he would get things done. And as a result, when Alexander was old enough, his father started teaching him about ditch digging and hedge trimming so that he could join him and then one day take over.
Very nice. Do you think when he finishes work, he just go up to them and go, "You've been ditched," and just leave?
I mean, it said he had a good reputation, not that he had a funny reputation.
Mm-hmm. They're not the same?
No.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
So, you know, that's nice. He wants to bring him into
the family trade.
The family business, give him a job, make sure that he's effectively taken care of.
Yep.
But Alexander wasn't really up for that.
Mm.
He didn't fancy it. He didn't find all of that manual labour very appealing. Because he didn't see why he should have to work that hard just to get by. It didn't seem fair.
Some entitlement.
Right.
Very nice.
And his father didn't like this in response. He didn't like his attitude. He thought that he was being entitled and spoilt. And
sounds like he was.
Was basically telling him to toe the line.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, Alexander had to set out by himself. He knew what he wanted, and he knew he didn't want to grind for it. So, you know what he needed, Kieran?
A lottery win?
A scheme.
Oh. Oh, no.
So he got married.
Oh, very nice, very nice.
No, not what you'd expect. But he got married. He fell in love with a woman called Agnes Douglas.
Agnes Douglas, yep.
Young love. We love to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Agnes was wrangling with her own issues,
mm-hmm.
her own reputation. She was known widely as Black Agnes. A dubious nickname, I know.
Mm.
But she was known as Black Agnes because apparently she was a witch.
Ooh.
Remember, we're in prime.
I'd already forgotten. There
prime
we go.
Witch hunting era. We're still here. I swear this isn't what next week's episode is going to be about.
I would demand something different.
You don't get to demand anything.
You have to switch it up.
Well, you heard it here first. Agnes was a servant of Satan.
Oh, there you go. Knew it.
It's quite a moniker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they weren't going to have a very easy time of life generally if Alexander was work shy and Agnes was a witch.
That's some combination, that has to be said.
That's going to make things very difficult during this era. Wherever they moved to, people didn't exactly warm up to them. Because they weren't very nice people. And they didn't really have any acceptable, I say that in quotations, skills or trades to speak of.
Mm.
So they didn't have any feasible way to come up with any money.
Well, yeah, they want to not do anything and make lots of money doing it.
Yeah.
They want to be aristocrats.
Yeah, but, you know, they're not.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the problem, isn't it? So, I should have been born into wealth.
Mm-hmm. If you're born an aristocrat, it's very difficult to find an entry-level position, you know? If you don't have the right experience.
Yeah.
Not getting very far. So Alexander came up with a brilliant plan.
Mm.
Nice one. Good job. Love the commitment.
Colour me intrigued.
He turned to Agnes and he said, "Babe, I've come up with a plan.
Mm.
And it means we're going to make lots of money and we're never going to have to pay rent or bills or anything. Do you want to hear it?" And Agnes was like, "Yeah.
Fuck yeah, I
totally.
Do.
Totally." Alexander said, "Well, what if we lived in a cave?"
It's a bold proposition.
Mm-hmm.
Bold. He's a man after my own heart.
Has frugal. To be said.
Yep. Frugal. Ingenious.
Practical.
Yep. Good enough for the Dalai Lama.
Well, remember, they're very close to the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of caves down that part of the coastline that nobody was really using. So Alexander suggested that they move into one of these caves in the cliffs and they live there instead of finding a home in one of the nearby towns like Girvan. That was his plan.
I mean, who doesn't want to live the life of a bear, you know?
How do you feel, you know, as Agnes, your new husband, who's, remember, this is of a time where your husband is supposed to provide for you.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
Women, there wasn't a lot they could do. They would do a lot around the home, but in terms of making money for themselves, they were limited.
Yeah. I wouldn't be coloured tickled pink, you know. I wouldn't be thrilled at the prospect of living in a cave. But then maybe I'd be all like, well, we don't have any money, so sure.
Well, Alexander had a follow-up.
Mm-hmm. I'll make it a nice cave.
Well, he had come up with a way to provide for his new bride, Agnes. He had a foolproof plan.
Mm-hmm.
This was going to work.
Is it like ghost tours of these caves and he pretends to be a ghost.
I mean, that is a solid plan, and yeah. I think that we should put a pin in that.
I know.
We should revisit that later.
Generally spooky tours to come.
Mm-hmm. Cave tours. No, Alexander was going to provide for Agnes by robbing people.
Oh, that sounds good.
I see. Why didn't anyone else think of that?
I know. Man.
He planned to lie in wait of travellers and merchants who journeyed along the roads above the cave as they travelled between towns.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, selling their stuff.
Classic highwayman. Very nice.
Yeah, yeah, kind of. And then he was going to ambush them for whatever goods they were carrying and their money. So, you know, they have somewhere to live where they don't have to pay much. They have a form of income. Do you see any holes in this plan?
It seems pretty flawless, really.
Well, there's a pretty big one.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. If Alexander were to rob someone, they're probably going to be quite mad about it.
Oh, yeah, that's true, isn't it? Yeah.
Right?
They probably won't want to be robbed.
No.
Interesting.
They're going to march themselves back home and they're going to tell everyone what happened. Or no one, I guess, if they're embarrassed. Maybe they tell no one. But let's assume that at least some of them will return home and tell everyone what happened.
They're going to say, I got robbed by a caveman. And they're like, do you journey through time? I'm like, no.
Are those funny cigarettes? So, yeah, like, if this happens, what's going to happen to Alexander?
There's going to be a manhunt.
Exactly, because, mm-hmm. you know, chances are they'll be able to describe something of his person.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to know what he did. And then these people who find out what he did are probably going to come and find him.
Seems likely.
And even more likely is that they'll hang him, mm-hmm. since, you know, people were hanged for less.
Yep.
Alexander changes his plan. He decides and then goes on to do this. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just speculative anymore. He decides to follow through.
So he hasn't robbed anyone?
I'm about to describe to you
what he does.
What his eventual form of income and pleasure was. He would lie in wait along the routes that people took between towns and around the cave. And when he robbed them, he would murder them.
Well,
an elegant solution.
Yeah, yeah, you can't fault it, except in every single way.
Well, if nobody survives his attack and his theft,
mm-hmm.
nobody can report what he's done.
That is true.
You can't identify someone if you're not breathing.
Mm-hmm. That's the rules in video games.
So, you know, he's found the problem,
mm-hmm.
he's
mm-hmm.
solved the problem, but he's created another problem.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like throwing in, what is it? You end up with snakes and then you end up with mongoose.
Oh, you've got rats, so you get snakes to get rid of the rats. And then you have snakes, so you get mongoose to get rid of the snakes. Then you have mongoose, so you have to get bears to get rid of the mongoose.
Then this is kind of the spiral he's found himself in.
And then you find yourself with a bear problem going, oh no.
Oh no.
Now we have bears.
So how can Alexander stop this from spiraling further?
Get a job.
You think so.
Yeah, that's...
You think so.
Maybe.
How can he find a way to make sure that he now doesn't get arrested for murder?
He's not going to, like, eat the bodies, is he?
He's going to eat the bodies.
Oh!
Ding, 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 ding! Kieran wins.
Oh, yeah.
The worst competition there is.
So you've won the mind of a psychopath. Like, oh, good. Mm-hmm. Yum.
So if you're listening to this and you already know the tale of Sonny Bean, you've been ready for this from the off.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what the whole episode is about. Alexander, upon killing his victims, would drag them down to the cave where he was living with his new wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that makes sense. They'd be more hidden there instead of just leaving the bodies by the road. But this wasn't where things stopped.
I was just thinking, you're not going to help your reputation as Black Agnes, the... What was it? Satan's servant.
Mm-hmm.
Servant of the devil. Who eats people.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's not good.
No. You're definitely not... You're not solving any problems here. Mm-hmm. Let's be real.
Send in more bears.
Send in more trains. In the spirit of not wasting anything and getting by without having to work too hard, Alexander and Agnes would use the bodies of Alexander's victims in order to bulk up their diet, ensure they were getting enough protein, beef up their meals, if you will.
So if you ever tried to make bone bread,
they would eat them.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at. They would eat their victims. It's gross, I know. But this is the core of the whole legend.
Well,
this is the whole thing. Sonny Bean the cannibal.
Huh. Nope, I've never heard this.
If you didn't want to hear it, you shouldn't have clicked on the episode.
Oh, that's true. We're 25 minutes in now, and I'm only finding out he's a cannibal. But presumably, that'll be in the title somewhere, so you all knew this was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Kieran's just a poor, poor bastard. According to this legend, this way of life that Alexander and Agnes had adopted turned out not only to be profitable, but very nutritious, satiating, fulfilling.
Are you sure?
I'll stop, I swear. But they used this diet and they managed to have a family.
No.
Yeah. Over the course of 25 years.
25 years?
They killed and ate about 1,000 people.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. And he and Agnes had 8 sons, 6 daughters, 18 grandsons, and 14 granddaughters.
Fucking hell.
A very busy couple of decades for the Bean clan.
They're doing it like beans.
I don't think beans do it.
Well, that's 1,000 beans. Oh, I'm not okay.
And over time, they refined their process. Alexander and his sons, and eventually his grandsons, they would be the ones who would go out and ambush unwitting people and do the deed.
Well, that's true. When you have a small army of like 50 people, that's quite an ambush you can lay. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You can plan and you can strategize. Once they had done that, the bodies would be taken back to the beach into the cave.
Mm-hmm.
They would be butchered and the women would prepare the meals and would preserve the meat so that it would last.
Mm-hmm.
What they didn't use would be thrown into the waves of the ocean so that nobody would find it. Or if they did find it, then they might think that someone had been attacked by an animal or it's just been washed up from somewhere else.
Man, there's so many shark attacks around here.
God, who knew there were so many sharks?
I mean, a hell of a cave to have that many people in it.
Yeah.
I'm also amazed it was that nutritious. I would have thought you'd have some sort of weirdness happened long before 25 years.
But I guess if you're eating that along with other things the same way you would other meat.
Oh yeah, maybe.
Probably wouldn't be that different in a horrible kind of way.
Isn't that how mad cow disease started?
Yes. I don't really know the ins and outs
of long-term cannibalism.
No.
Not a lot of.
I think because it hasn't been done.
Yeah, not a lot of ethical studies around that.
Well, the extent of my knowledge was reading the book Murder.
Mm-hmm.
What was her name?
Aha! It's not just me.
Remember. But basically, it was written as a biography of murder, and the author in this book talks about the ethics of when a crew are shipwrecked.
Oh, yeah.
And they start eating each other.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the book, and it was talking about the law behind it and at what point you're at fault and all that kind of thing. Not really related to this episode, it's just very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could talk about it in the debrief over on Patreon.
Maybe.
Write that down, Kieran. Write that down.
Murder. Sailors.
Now, you might be wondering at this point, Kieran.
I'm wondering quite a lot of things.
Well, do you want to say some of the things you're wondering?
No.
Before I tell you what you're wondering?
No,
and then use that to hop on to my next point?
No, I prefer you to tell me what I'm wondering.
Okay, well, you might be wondering how they got away with this for a quarter of a century.
Well, that's a person a week for 25 years.
You're not wrong to be confused, and that was fast math.
Thank you. I've got maths. I don't have people.
You've got maths.
I've got maths, though.
The cave that the Bean clan were living in was quite difficult to get down to. It involved scaling down a cliff, and it wasn't very easy to spot unless you knew it was there. And on top of this, the entrance to the cave became completely blocked at high tide.
Oh.
To the point where it didn't look as if anything could survive in there.
Oh, so it must be quite like a deep cave that goes uphill a bit then.
Yes.
Interesting.
But inevitably, people in the area started noticing that something wasn't right over the course of all these years. Because people were going missing and there were no answers as to where they went.
Yeah.
But remember, they were targeting travellers and people who moved around a lot.
Yeah.
So it wasn't always people from that area.
1,000 people, though.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the beans were never suspected. Because most people didn't even know they were there.
Couldn't have been them.
Well, they didn't know they existed.
Well, yeah, who'd you... Oh.
How would you know?
Oh.
So what ended up happening a lot was false accusations would be thrown around. And often it was the lot of bartenders or innkeepers who received this blame. Because they were usually the last person to see the missing person alive.
Well, I mean, that's not great, is it?
The logic is there.
Yeah.
It's just misplaced.
Yeah.
And you know what would happen to someone who was accused and then found guilty of murder in the 15 and 1600s?
Did they get murdered?
Yeah, death. All death. Lots of death.
Death.
Death, death, death. Death, so death, the Bean death, Clan death. Were safe.
Yeah. Until they said, what are you going to do with that body? Because we can take care of it if you want.
You'll be pleased to hear that the beans weren't safe for much longer.
I mean, I'm somewhat pleased, but 25 years is a long time.
Well, even the end of this tale is quite grotty, so be ready.
Mm.
It was just another usual evening for the beans. As night fell, the men of the clan ventured out from their cave and scaled the cliff, mm-hmm. as they did all the time. And they hid themselves near the path that had become their hunting ground. And they were in luck, because a fair had been held nearby, which had drawn in big crowds. There was lots of people about. Tonight was a good night to be on the hunt. They crouched silently by the path, and they waited and waited until they heard horse hooves. Someone was coming along the path. Now, a married couple were riding on a horse, leaving the fair. They were quiet, enjoying the summer evening and the glow of having spent quality time with someone that you care about. Suddenly, out of nowhere, hands emerged from the darkness and grabbed each of them. And they pulled and they yanked, and eventually they managed to drag the woman from the horse.
No.
To her husband's horror, he watched as she was set upon by the wild gang. And he watched them begin their unspeakable process as he continued to fight to stay on his horse, because there were other hands trying to pull him down too.
You imagine them very feral.
Yes, absolutely. You were on the money. Before long, the man's strength failed and he was also dragged from his horse. He hit the ground hard and all the air was forced from his lungs. And as he looked around, all he could see were wild, hungry faces. And he knew that this was it. This was the end. He had just watched what happened to his wife. Yep. And he knew what was coming. But then the sound of horse hooves and distant yells filled the air. The wild men paused in their attack, searching in the dark for what they feared the most. Discovery.
Mm.
The man pinned on the ground began to cry out, and he made as much noise as possible, which brought the hooves and the lights of the torches closer and closer to where they were. Now, they were stuck in an impossible choice, but the beans fled, leaving not only the woman's body, but also a living witness for the very first time.
Shit. I'm surprised they kept it together for 25 years.
Then you have 25 years to make your process perfect, don't
you? Yeah.
It's like serial killers. They get more efficient over time. And that's what makes them more dangerous.
To not slip up once, though.
It's still a feat.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say it's not. But that does happen. A crowd of people who had been leaving the fair arrived at the bloody scene after seeing the attack, and intervening to try and save the couple's life, but they were too late for the woman. She was beyond saving. But they were able to bring the man back to town, along with his story. Now, the survivor was brought before the local magistrate, since he was desperate to share his story and reveal what happened to anyone that would listen, because people needed to know. He needed justice for his wife, and in his mind, these were monsters. They needed to be stopped.
Absolutely.
They were barely even human, based on what he had seen them do. And he had heard what they were planning on doing with her body, so he knew what they were up to. Now, as you would expect from a story like this, it spread like wildfire.
Well, it would.
Absolutely. It would, wouldn't it? It's all anyone could talk about because they were so horrified that people like this existed and lived among them, preyed on them.
Terrifying me.
Like, who could believe or understand that a clan of cannibals were living under their nose?
Yeah, because they can't have been too far from, like, civilization.
Well, not really. Not if they're near, like, thoroughfares and roads and things.
Yeah.
The story horrified so many people and spread so far that eventually it reached the ears of King James VI himself.
There he is again.
And he was disgusted. And he knew that, like, this had to be cleansed. They needed to get rid of all of this. He managed to gather a force of 400 men, and they also had bloodhounds with them to try and root out the Bean Clan through smell, because they had no idea where they were.
Mm.
They just had a rough area of where they had been seen. Now, they followed the accounts of the survivor and the accounts of the people who had interrupted the attack, because they had also seen bits and pieces. The king's men were directed where to roughly search, and before long, they were on the beach, and they started discovering body parts, which before now hadn't drawn too much attention, but now they knew why they were there. They found the cave, and they went in. What they found can only be described as the stuff of nightmares.
I can't even imagine.
As they ventured into the cave, they found members of the Bean Clan crouching by the walls, hiding from their torchlight like nocturnal animals.
Mm.
The smell was almost overpowering, but somehow the men continued through the cave, discovering not only piles of jewellery and other valuables which they had stolen, but body parts hanging from the roof of the cave. I know, we're getting there. I found two versions of what happened next, so I'm going to tell you both.
Mm-hmm.
In one version of this legend, the king's men were so disgusted with what they found inside this cave, they trapped the Bean Clan inside, set the entrance with gunpowder, and detonated everything.
Oofed.
Leaving them to suffocate to death in the cave.
Brutal.
That's version number one.
Mm-hmm. The second, unjust, but brutal.
No. The second version goes a little differently. The king's men discover the cave, discover the horrors, and they drag the family out.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander and his family were taken to Edinburgh, to Tolbooth Jail. And some stories claim they were taken on to Leith or Glasgow after that. Other stories say they were kept in Edinburgh. It varies. Now, the Beans were not given a trial, since it was deemed that there was so much evidence against them. It was deemed obvious that they were guilty.
A very short trial.
Yeah, and they were kind of deemed subhuman for what they had done. They were more like animals than people. So the lack of trial didn't seem like much of a problem because they weren't people.
Mm-hmm.
So no trial in either version of the legend.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander and the rest of the men from his family were subjected to a pretty brutal execution. Their sensitive parts, the parts you'd only want to be treated nicely, were cut off and thrown into a fire.
Eesh.
And then the same thing was done with their hands and feet.
Mm.
It's such a gory episode. We haven't had as gory an episode since Burke and Hare, I don't
yeah.
think.
Oh, you did warn me it was going to be gory.
Mm-hmm.
You've delivered.
Well, we can maybe put a warning at like the top of the episode that this is going to be particularly gory.
I mean, people know what they're here for. You know what you're here for, don't you? You're here for the spooking.
I just feel bad. It's very gory.
This is the spooking.
But this is the whole legend. This is the whole
thing.
This
is it. And spooking of gory. Carry on.
The Bean Men were left to bleed out from there, while Agnes and the woman of the clan watched. And as he died, Alexander's last words were, "It isn't over. It will never be over."
Oh.
Spooky. After her husband and sons and grandsons were all dead, Agnes, along with the other women and children, were tied to stakes and were publicly burned.
Mm.
Now, in one of the articles about this legend that I read, the writer made the good point that these were both the punishments that were given out to those convicted of treason at this time.
Oh, yeah.
To men and women. The punishments that they were given were different, and they were similar to these.
Mm.
So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's one slightly different version of this story, the end of the story, in which one of the Bean daughters escaped the fate of her family.
Oh.
She supposedly left the cave when she was really young, left the family entirely to make it on her own, and she started a new life for herself in Girvan, even planting a tree to commemorate the occasion.
Oh.
However, after her family were captured and exposed and everybody knew who they were many, many years later, people realised who she actually was.
Mm.
And they were so disgusted by the actions of her family and what she had taken part in as a child, she was hanged by the people of Girvan.
Did they hang her on her tree?
Well, when I found this little bit of the legend, I was interested in what was referred to as the Jewel Tree, because that was the tree that she had planted, mm-hmm. and that's the tree that they hung her from, because I'd never heard of that before. A jewel tree is a real thing. It's a hanging tree. The word jewel comes from the Gaelic for misery or sorrow.
Hmm.
And these were the trees that were used for hangings or displaying executed people, like a gibbet. And some of these trees that were planted way back when still exist. And there are some in Scotland.
That's crazy.
Now, we talked about this while we were away on holiday.
We did.
Because we drove past one.
We did. You might have seen it. I didn't see it.
No. We drove past where one is. Basically, if there are place names around where you live that are along the lines of Gallows Hill, chances are there's a jewel tree planted there. There's one near Dalmally, which is where we were on holiday in January. There's one at Leith Hall in Aberdeenshire,
oh.
and that one still has rope marks in it.
Oh.
How spooky is that?
That is. Oh, no.
Uh-huh, it's still there. Leith Hall in Aberdeenshire.
Christ.
Mm-hmm. It's not strictly related to the episode, but I wanted to mention it because I'd never heard of that phrase before,
no.
A jewel tree. But it was mentioned briefly in that version of the Sonny Bean tale.
Mm. Where did the name Sonny come into it?
We're going to talk about that in just a bit. So Alexander and Agnes were thwarted. The Bean clan were wiped out and the people of East Lothian were safe.
Yep.
King James VI had managed to root out a family of cannibals. By all accounts, he was a hero.
Good man. Struggle saying that with everything else, but good man.
Good thing.
Mm. Good.
But what if I told you that pretty much everything I've told you so far wasn't actually true?
Oh. And it was all a dream. None of it's true.
Well.
Oh.
What?
Oh. But I was so hooked.
Well, aren't you glad that it's probably not true?
I mean, that's.
I thought you'd be relieved.
Yeah, I guess I am.
You guess?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to tell you that around 1,000 people weren't murdered and eaten.
Mm.
I'm sorry. I'll deliver next time.
Thank you.
Well, I feel like a lot of people know about this, that the Sawney Bean legend probably isn't true. But it's all really interesting, so I wanted to talk about it, as well as talking you through the actual legend.
It's a hell of a tale.
It is. It's widely known. The Sawney Bean legend is one of the most famous Scottish stories, but there's very, very little proof that any of it happened at all.
Weird.
So I'm going to try and break down where it is that the legend falls apart once you kind of hold it under the light a little bit, where the legend might actually have come from and why it was spread around in the first place.
Yep, sounds good to me.
Because it's a horrible story.
It's a really horrible story.
For this part of the episode, I really had to put my methodical head on. Because there's a lot of speculation and there's a lot of history that kind of overlaps. And I've really been dying to get into this part with you because I think it's really interesting. I want to know what you think. So firstly, let's look at the history of the real Bean clan.
Oh, okay. I don't know any Beans. I don't know that as a second name, apart from Sean Bean.
Yeah, it's not a hugely popular nickname.
Mm-hmm. Nickname?
Surname, sorry. Surname. From what I could see, the Bean surname originates from around Aberdeenshire.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really not very much I could find. There's kind of an offshoot that lives in the Inverness area. That's McBean or McBain.
Oh, yeah, that I do know, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no written evidence that an Alexander Bean and his family were ever tried, convicted, executed, or even written about during the 15th or 16th century.
I feel someone will have written something down.
Mm-hmm. Especially, nothing at all.
Because it would be such a feather in King James VI's cap.
Exactly. We're going to talk about that later. Keep a pin in that thought, because that you're absolutely spot on. Yeah, there's absolutely no written evidence at all. It also isn't clear where Sonny Bean and his family actually lived.
Hmm.
There's no proof of the location of their cave.
Oh, that's just interesting. Like,
there's no written proof of their crimes or execution, mm-hmm. and all the information about the actual Beans that live in Scotland don't line up.
Hmm.
A lot of people claim that Sonny Bean's cave is a place called Benane Cave. I need to check it. I've been called out for this so many times. Benane. Yeah, I was saying it right. Yeah, a lot of people claim that Sonny Bean's cave is a place that really exists that's called Benane Cave.
Hmm.
And it is compelling. I totally understand why this gets referred to as Sonny Bean's cave. There's also a cave further along the coast from Benane Cave, which also gets called Sonny Bean's cave. And sometimes these two places are treated as the same,
mm-hmm.
but from what I can see, there are two different places.
Okay.
If you go to visit Benane Cave, you will notice some strange things. It's divided into compartments with walls that have been built into the cave, stone walls.
Interesting.
There are spaces in these walls for doors, windows. There's a fireplace.
Wait, a window? Why would you need a window in a cave?
Well, the wall is inside the cave and there's a gap so you can look out the front of the cave.
Got you. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty obvious that someone's put a lot of work into making this cave livable.
Yeah. Hmm.
Which is creepy.
That is creepy.
But it's only creepy until you learn about a man called Snib Scott.
Oh, I don't like where this is going.
Or two men called Snib Scott.
Oh.
Let me explain. The first Snib Scott was around during the 1920s.
Okay.
And he actually lived in Benane Cave.
Hmm.
But that's all I really know about him. The second Snib Scott was actually called Henry Ewing Torbett.
Mm-hmm.
This is confusing. But he went by Snib Scott as a way of hiding his real identity. Because he lived in Benane Cave after the original Snib Scott died.
Interesting.
So he moved into the cave and he assumed his identity.
Hmm.
Now, I refer to Henry as Snib, even though that was his adopted name. Snib was born in Dundee, and even though he had a fiancé, he had a position as a banker, and he had a whole life laid out for him, which would have had him doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
He left society almost completely when he was 33.
Hmm.
He begged throughout the 1940s and 50s to get by, and eventually he ended up in Benane Cave, where he lived. That was when he took on Snib Scott's name, so people wouldn't find out who he actually was.
That's so weird.
And he was largely able to provide for himself. He would gather glass bottles that he could trade for things he needed at the local shop, because that used to be a thing, if you're 12.
20p for your iron brew bottle, the best.
He would hunt and he would fish, and he was well liked by people nearby. They would leave things for him to make sure that he was okay.
Oh, that's nice.
But he would only accept them if nobody could see him take it, because he was very proud.
Mm-hmm.
So people would just leave things for him, go away, and then he would pick them up and take them into the cave.
Fair enough.
So he was well liked. And he lived in Benane Cave until 1983.
Wow.
I think he was there for about 30 years.
So weird.
And unfortunately, he died from complications of pneumonia and hypothermia during the winter of 1983.
Oh, no.
People went to check on him to see if he was okay and found him in the cave, and he wasn't very well at all.
Oh, man.
So Benane Cave is a real place that has actually been lived in.
Interesting.
So it looks like Sawney Bean's cave.
Uh-huh.
So it's a compelling thing that would keep the legend going.
Yep.
But that doesn't explain the origin of the legend, because this happened in the 1900s.
Hey, what about the 400 years prior? 300 exactly. years prior.
Exactly. The story of Snib Scott didn't start the Sawney Bean legend. We need to go further back to figure all of this out.
Who was eating people?
Who was eating people?
Who been eating people?
Who been eating people?
Oh.
That was really bad, I'm sorry. We have to go back to the 1700s.
Okay.
Because this is when the first written versions of the Sawney Bean tale started to appear.
Interesting.
Now, you remember that I said the tale happened at the end of the 1500s, beginning of the 1600s.
Yep.
So this is almost 100 years after it supposedly happened.
Yeah.
That someone wrote it down for the first time. Now, coming from a small Scottish town like we do,
mm-hmm.
Kieran, let me pose a scenario to you.
Hit me.
We're still at home in Ullapool. Pretend we still live there. And it comes out that a clan of cannibals has been hiding out at Ardmore, which is a beach just a few miles away from Ullapool, and murdering people from the area to eat.
Hmm.
Do you think it's remotely possible that no one in Ullapool would talk about it or write about it for 100 years?
Absolutely not.
Exactly. No chance in hell. Not a chance in hell. Yep. No way.
And I bet they were on Clan Campbell. Yeah, they've been there for ages. What's the problem? Is it not cannibal?
That's exactly what you would do. Or I tell you, just be like, bullshit.
Is it so? So what do you mean, so? So well, there's loads of Campbells. No, not Campbell.
Well, you've proved my point. Everyone would talk about it obsessively.
Yeah.
All the details would be hashed out and everyone would know everything.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So it's suspicious, therefore, that there are no records of the story until the 1700s. Mm,
I suspect a CIA cover-up.
What are they covering up?
Mm.
Aliens.
Aliens. Man-eating aliens.
I hope this isn't getting too confusing.
Nope, I don't think so.
Okay. In the 1700s, the story of Sawney Bean was published in something similar to a brochure. It was a little book called The Newgate Calendar. Now, this was interesting. I didn't know much about this before, but the Newgate Calendar originally just published the monthly executions that happened at Newgate Prison in London.
Oh.
Because there'd be a lot of high-profile criminals there, so it just recorded the executions.
Fair enough.
But it became quite popular, so they started branching out into publishing things like accounts of crime. They would record and publish the last words of people before they got executed.
It's very industrious.
They would have woodcut illustrations of hangings or of criminals or like crime scenes as described to them. But they would also publish fiction.
Oh.
Now, the Newgate Calendar was widely popular.
Mm.
I read that it was in the top three books that were sold during the 18th and 19th centuries.
Damn.
If you had a home during this time, you would have a book called The Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan. It's like a religious allegory. Like the journey in the book mirrors your religious journey.
Yep.
You would have a copy of the Bible.
Yep.
And you would have a copy of the Newgate Calendar.
Hmm.
That's how popular it was.
Damn.
So it turns out that true crime content has been popular for a very, very long time.
I don't know what you'd have now. You know.
You do get, my next note is that the best way to think about the Newgate Calendar is kind of like a present day tabloid.
Mm.
That's kind of how they publish content and that's how it was seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just going to say that there are like true crime magazines.
Mm.
That's still a thing.
That is still a thing.
Mm-hmm. So that's probably the closest thing that we have.
Well, I was thinking like 200 years from now, people are like, oh yeah, and in the 21st century, you'd have had your Harry Potters. You'd have had, what else would you have? You'd have the Bible still.
Your 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, you'd have 50 Shades of Grey. Yes, and everyone had, don't know what it would be.
No wonder.
Could be Lord of the Rings still. That's the 19th, the 20th century though.
Let us know what your top three books are. Yeah, so the best way to think about the Newgate Calendar is by thinking of a tabloid.
Mm.
They weren't looked on very favorably at all They had a bad reputation. They were deemed low quality and immoral.
Mm.
And a criticism of a book of that time that was published would be referring to it as a Newgate novel. And Charles Dickens had, I think it was Oliver Twist, was described as a Newgate novel because it seemed to glamorise crime. So it was a bad thing.
Oh, there you go.
But do you know what I would give to have a copy of one? A Newgate calendar.
A Newgate calendar, that'd be cool. I got Ailey for Christmas, a copy of William McGonagall's poems.
Very sweet. Mm-hmm. I love it a lot.
Speaking of a copy of that.
Mm-hmm.
So a year from now, I'll be saying I got Ailey a Newgate calendar.
And if he doesn't, you're going to have to shout at him.
Mm-hmm.
He's committed now. Now, it seems likely, given the lack of historical evidence, that the story of Sonny Bean was a piece of sensational fiction that was published in the Newgate calendar.
Mm.
But why? Who would write it and why?
Hmm. A pre-Gothic horror writer.
Hmm. Fair.
The first.
Well, I think the...
It's Gothic, not the 1800s.
Well, the Gothic era was the 1800s, I think.
Well, this is the 1700s?
Yes.
I don't know. Mary Shelley's granny.
Well, the first reason, the first motive, could just be that it's a sensational story.
Mm.
I mean, it's probably what drew you to listen to this podcast episode. If we put anything about Scottish cannibal clans in the title, there's a chance people will listen based on that.
Yeah.
Because it's a wild story.
I don't know, why'd you do that? I don't know, just spooking in that.
Just felt like it.
Just spooking, you know.
Just generally spooking.
Just generally spooking. It's a phrase, like Google it, you know?
Yeah, I'm just generally spooking. That's how I spend my time. And Sonny Bean isn't the only Scottish cannibal tale.
Oh.
A possible source of inspiration for Sonny Bean could be the story of Christy Cleek, which comes from the 15th century and was very popular. So it predates the time that Sonny Bean was supposed to be about.
Interesting.
Christy Cleek's real name was Andrew Christie, a butcher by trade who had fallen on hard times. Famine was rampant and he didn't have enough to feed himself or his family.
Mm-hmm.
So to try and combat this, Christie led a group of men into the hills around Perth to hunt for food, anything that they could butcher and eat.
Good plan.
The group were hunting for days, but considering they'd been starving when they left town, they weren't in a good way after finding nothing.
Mm.
One of the men eventually died of starvation, unable to hold on anymore. Christie decided to make the most of a bad situation. He readied his butcher knives, and the men ate well that night.
Mm.
The men ate so well, after being hungry for so long, that they ended up developing a taste for people.
Interesting.
Christie continued to lead the group through the hills, eating their horses when they couldn't find any travellers to kill. Now, the most horrifying detail of this story, the one that gave Andrew Christie his nickname, Christy Cleek, was the method he would use to capture his victims. He stalked the hills with a long rod that had a large sharp hook on the end.
Whoa.
And this is what he would use to drag people from their horses.
Oh.
Such a scary image.
It is.
Isn't it awful?
Oh, no.
According to this legend, he killed at least 30 people. But rather than being executed or captured, he actually disappeared when his group of cannibals were routed by a militia. He escaped. And after this, he reintegrated into normal society.
Mm-hmm.
He got remarried, had more children, and he was never caught.
Oh, shit.
I don't know about you, but I can see a lot of similarities between this story and the Sonny Bean tale.
Yep, yep.
And this story is at least 100 years older than the Sonny Bean story, at least.
And presumably this is also just a legend.
Yeah, from what I can see, I couldn't find any historical proof.
Mm.
But it was a story that was going around at that time. There's proof that people were telling this as a sort of ghost story to each other. That is true. So it could well be that the inspiration for Sonny Bean came from this story, especially since the publishers at Newgate Calendar likely saw how popular and sensational the story of Christy Cleek had been. So, you know, it might help them sell copies.
Yeah, it's fair.
So they release their own version.
I mean, if they're releasing fiction and things, I don't think there's anything wrong with releasing that story. It's good. It's good spooking.
Well, that is until I get into the second reason or motive for creating the story.
Dun, dun, dun.
Sharing the story of Sonny Bean could be darker than just trying to sell the Newgate calendar. And unfortunately, this is the reason I find the most compelling.
Oh, is it to alienate Scottish people from the English?
Yes. There's a theory that Sonny Bean and the horrors that he committed were made up and published as part of a campaign of anti-Scottish propaganda.
Nice.
In England. Honestly, making us look like monsters and wild creatures and cannibals.
So we're monsters enough without all this.
We're
on
only
top.
Some of those things. Dr. Louise Yeoman, now that's Y-E-O-M-A-N, Yeoman.
Yeoman. So what you do in the gloaming.
Yes. I'm sure she'll be thrilled. She's a Scottish historian and she specialises in the 17th century and the witch hunts.
Mm-hmm.
So she knows what she's talking about.
Mm. Which again, we do not, but we'll try.
No, she knows what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, she makes the excellent point that you made earlier, that if James VI really had led the charge against a family of cannibals, he would never have shut up about it.
Yeah.
Because he was always very vocal about overcoming his enemies and squashing his detractors. She made this point, which I didn't even think of. He made sure everyone knew when he survived the Guy Fawkes plot against his life, the gunpowder plot.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knew what had happened and everybody knew that he had survived and he had beaten his enemies.
Yep.
So the fact that there are no records of James VI taking part in this indicate that it didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Wasn't he also not in Scotland for a very long time?
When he became the King of England.
Can't remember when that was.
He just never came back.
Well, yeah, I was wondering if this was before or after that.
I don't know. Because there's no solid dates.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. Yeoman also says this. This is a direct quote. It sounds like, talking about the story, it sounds like the plot for a box office topping horror film. And that's because it was invented to serve a very similar purpose, to sell books. It also has a more sinister subtext. The books it sold were not published in Scotland, but in England, at a time when there was widespread prejudice against Scots. So to put this into context and to try and convince you that I'm right, I'll explain what was happening between Scotland and England during the time that the Sonny Bean story was first published. The 1700s witnessed three different Jacobite risings.
Mm.
The last one in 1745, which was the campaign that culminated in the Battle of Culloden. Jacobites versus Hanoverians, it was never purely Scottish versus English, but there was a lot of conflict between the two countries. Scotland was generally viewed as less than by the English, and King George and his supporters didn't want anyone sympathising with the Jacobite cause, or the Scots generally. And this kind of became targeted at the Highlands and Highlanders, rather than Lowlanders.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, there's unfortunately a lot of similarities here.
Yeah.
Now, what better way to convince the English public that the Scots were dangerous, untrustworthy, brutal, than to boil down all of that ill feeling into a single family that epitomises all of that?
It does make sense.
Like, this is part of the reason that I laid out the episode this way. Think back to how you felt hearing the story.
Disgusted.
Right? So you may project that onto the entire group. Because that's something that humans are pre-programmed to do. If a group of people are other to you, you treat them as other.
Well, see, that's how I feel about all cannibals now. So it makes sense.
All cannibals are bad. This is a sweeping stereotype, and I'm not changing my opinion.
I'm stereotyping them all together.
It's a hot take. Cannibals are bad. Now, this was something else that I asked you to put a pin in.
Yep, I am pro-beans, though. Just to...
Pro-beans. Kieran is pro-beans.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think less of beans, generally.
But then, maybe beans think this way about you because you eat them. Maybe they're anti-Kieran.
Oh my god, no one's anti-Kieran. Come on.
Beans might be. Yes, I asked you to put a pin in this.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the name Sonny Bean is rooted in anti-Scottish sentiment. So this is kind of where the nickname comes into play, Alexander versus Sonny.
Well, yeah, I was wondering what Sonny is.
Mm-hmm. To describe a Scottish person as Sonny was an insult, and it was generally used by English people during this time period. It originally came from the name Alexander, and it started just as a harmless nickname. Sonny is a shortened version of Alexander.
No, oh, because I know Sandy's must be the modern version, I guess.
Yeah, so it's just dated.
Yeah.
But Sonny kind of became what Jock is now. You know, you might describe a Scottish person as Jock. Sonny was that, but then it was turned into an insult. Cartoons started appearing of this cartoon character called Sonny, who was uneducated and rough and dirty, an uncouth Highlander, and he was always wearing tartan and he couldn't speak properly. That was Sonny. And the full nickname in these publications became Sonny Happeth, and this was used to imply that a Scottish person was worth less than nothing, or that a Scottish person was an idiot.
Charming.
Because at this time, because it was Sonny Half Pennyworth, shortened to Sonny Happeth. And this is because at this time, a pound in England, like a Scottish, an English pound, was worth 12 Scottish pounds. They were different currencies.
Yep.
So this insult implied that Scotland wasn't worth much. Which stings even now.
That does sting now. And the £1 to £12 stings, because if you take Scottish printed notes to England, they sometimes don't accept them.
Yeah, that's
often
still a thing.
Often don't accept them.
That's still a thing.
Yep. So no, this is Scottish money. We don't take that.
Even though they're exactly the same.
Yeah.
Both Scotland and England function on pound sterling.
Or what really pissed me off when I was a barman, and an Englishman would come in and pay in cash, you'd give them their £5 note, and it would be a Scottish £5 note. They're like, no, no, can I have real money, please?
Yeah. That happened multiple times.
I'm like, that is real money. So no, but like an English one, though. I can't use this. Like, yes, you fucking can.
I once had, there was a pair of English women who almost refused to pay because I couldn't give them their change in English notes.
Like,
did I tell you about that?
I think so, yeah.
They almost refused to pay. Oh, well, you know, I can't accept Scottish money back. Like, I was trying to be nice.
Yeah.
You know, just it's exactly the same. Everyone will take it, I promise. Like, it's not like I'm giving them euros back.
I know. It's the same currency. And you're in Scotland.
But they almost refused to pay for their dinner because I couldn't give them their change in English money. Because there was none in the till. Otherwise, I would have.
Outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
Bizarre. Thinking of all the Sonny stuff, I had someone ask me if I was a Chuchter. I was like, yeah, I'm absolutely a Chuchter. I'm from the Highlands. Like, oh, I'm really sorry. Am I not supposed to say that? Like it was a really bad word that they shouldn't use. It was really weird because it's not, but he's obviously been using it as such.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, isn't it?
Like,
because I wouldn't take offence to that.
No.
But I'm sure there are some people who would use it as an insult.
Oh, yeah, he obviously thought it might be derogatory.
Well, yeah, if he has it in his head, it's a bad word.
Yeah.
Then he has bad feelings about it.
Yeah.
That's interesting that that's between, like, Lowland Scotland and Highland Scotland.
Yeah, that was down in Glasgow, I think that happened. I can't remember if it was an English guy or just Lowland Scotland guy.
Yeah.
Weird, though.
So there you go. It's like another layer to this story that shows it might have had the purpose of being anti-Scottish because the title character is called Sonny.
That's where years from now they're going to digest this podcast and be like, this was actually all anti-English sentiment for the Scottish referendum.
God, can you imagine?
We'll be like, no, we were just arsing about.
I know, and I haven't even said anything that isn't just my opinion.
So maybe the Sonny Bean story. I was writing a story. I thought it would be scarier in Scotland.
Well, the timing seems suspicious.
Yes.
The Sonny Bean story also was published at the same time that Samuel Johnson, who was a famous English writer, famous Tory, which, yes, I am using that as an insult, toured Scotland.
Oh.
Johnson famously hated Scotland.
As many English people do.
And I've gathered some of the things that he wrote about Scotland, or said about Scotland that other people wrote down. Would you care to hear them?
Yeah, go on.
You're not going to like it.
No.
You're not going to like it. So this is all direct quotes from Samuel Johnson. Here we go. the noblest prospect which a Scotsman, mm-hmm. that really winds me up. The noblest prospect which a Scotchman ever sees is the high road that leads him to England.
Whoa.
Much may be made of a Scotchman if he be caught young. There is in Scotland a diffusion of learning, a certain portion of it widely and thinly spread. A merchant has as much learning as one of their clergy. It's so bad. Oh, you have to laugh.
God.
You ready to hear some more?
I'm surprised he didn't get punched in his face.
Oh, well, he was widely respected and still is down in England because he wrote a dictionary.
Well, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
He's much beloved. Hmm. But he did not much beloved us, let me tell you.
There's a Blackadder with a character who wrote the dictionary. I wonder if that's that guy.
Maybe. Don't know. Anyway. What enemy would invade Scotland when there is nothing to be got? That is a very vile country, to be sure. Certainly, God made it, but we must always remember that he made it for Scotchmen. And comparisons are odious, but God made hell.
God made hell, though, I'm just saying. He made hell and he made Scotland, I'm just saying. What are you fucking saying? Oh, my blood's boiling
I know. I knew that this would get you. I put it in anyway.
Sort of rage me out.
It's quite funny.
You're trying to trigger me.
Trigger warning. Knowledge was divided among the Scots, like bread in a besieged town. To every man a mouthful, to no man a bellyful. It's like the most brutal put-downs you've ever heard from a comedian.
Yeah, it's like the comedian's roast at the start of a show, isn't it?
Seeing Scotland, madam, is only seeing a worse England.
I have
two more. Can you handle two more?
Yeah.
Because this is funny. I can see your face. And you can't see this if you're... I'm like crying laughing at Kieran's expression. It's really funny.
Oh, it's pure rage.
It's only two more. Two more. You can make it. Come on, this is a race of endurance.
Hit me.
Your country consists of two things, stone and water. There is indeed a little earth above the stone in some places, but a very little, and the stone is always appearing. It is like a man in rags. The naked skin is still peeping out. And the last one.
I mean, what even is that? Just insulting the earth? Like, what?
Damn your earth and soil.
God, look at all this stone. We don't have stone like this in England. In England, we have proper ground. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're connected. It's one big piece.
Last one.
Oh.
And then you can have a rage for a bit.
Oh, God.
The impudence of an Irishman is the impudence of a fly that buzzes about you, and you put it away, but it returns again and flutters and teases you. The impudence of a Scotsman is the impudence of a leech that fixes and sucks your blood. So, that's Samuel Johnson on Scotland.
Nice one. That's a hot take. That's what that is.
I got all of them from the one website where a guy's put them all together, which was very helpful. I will have that in the show notes for you.
Thank you. Doing God's work.
Oh. What do you think?
Oh.
Do you think there's a chance that anti-Scottish propaganda is the likely reason for Sonny Bean?
Maybe.
Given that these came out at the same time.
Oh, and can you tell he's a Tory?
Yeah. Well, if it makes you feel better, Samuel was not a perfect person. He was always in debt and constantly threatened with going to prison. He married one of his best friend's widows after he died. And he spouted all of that anti-Scottish bullshit when his own father was from Scotland.
Nice one.
And he kept it like a secret. He didn't want anyone to know. So I don't think we should worry too much about what he thinks.
No, I shouldn't have thought so.
Because you shouldn't take critique from someone you wouldn't ask for advice.
Yep.
And I would not ask Samuel Johnson anything, because he sounds like a shitbag. The veins are popping on Kieran's head right now.
Yeah.
All that being said, It seems like Sonny Bean was a monster taken from the nightmares of the English to convince those who needed convincing that those north of the border were a lower class of human.
Yep.
And I believe it. I think this kind of political move makes sense because you need to make sure that your people are on side. You need to make sure that the people that you're attacking as a ruler seem like they not only deserve it, but they need your leadership to learn how to live.
Yep.
You're doing them a favour by conquering them.
Don't worry, we're going to bring them democracy.
And this happens in the modern day, so yep. It's not hard to imagine
this
happening
not.
At this time. All this being, or the Sonny Bean legend has endured for hundreds of years.
It's a good story.
Yeah, well, the story served as the basis of multiple horror movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great inspiration. The Hills Have Eyes, that's inspired by elements of the Sonny Bean tale, and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, interesting.
There's bits of that where they've taken the Sonny Bean legend. Mm. I don't know if you're listening to this, if you've watched the anime Attack on Titan.
I know it.
But there's a storyline in that references the story, with two characters even named Sonny and Bean.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm. And a more recent movie came out in 2012, which is called Sonny, Flesh of Man. And this retells the story of Sonny Bean as if they existed, him and his family existed in modern times. And in this telling, Sonny is a black cab driver.
Oh, very cool.
Which is very creepy. It's like hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a good concept. I haven't seen the movie. Also, if you've been to Edinburgh Dungeon, then you know that they either still have or had in the past a whole exhibit based on Sonny Bean.
Oh, then I've been to that, so I must have come across
Well, it's the boat ride part.
Oh, I didn't do the boat ride. It was closed when I went.
It's That's the funny. Boat ride part. That's the Sonny Bean bit.
Oh.
You join the king's men to hunt down Sonny Bean.
Oh, that's really interesting.
In the boat. And it scared me out of my mind. I went 20 years ago and I've never gone back.
Nope. I suggested it and I was shot down immediately.
Oh, can't do it. We could talk about it in the debrief for Patreon.
Yep.
I can't do haunted houses. I can't do jump scares. And my stepdad made me go to Edinburgh Dungeon because he didn't want to look stupid going himself. So I had to go.
Very
and
noble
it scarred
of
me.
Yep.
But all of that is the legend of Sonny Bean.
Fucking hell.
Your catchphrase.
Fuck.
What do you think about the reasons for the story? What do you think?
Well, I'm trying to think what I'm more horrified by, the actual story or the Samuel Johnson arsehole.
What's worse, Samuel Johnson on Scotland or cannibalism? I can't tell. They look the same.
He is a bloody Johnson.
Equal amount of butchering in both.
It's crazy because it's obviously a very good story, so it endured. But it's funny that endured over other stories.
Mm-hmm. Or even that one has become the most famous.
Yeah. It's a strange, I suppose it's just kind of luck as well, isn't it?
Because there's a lot of stories that we've talked about from Scottish history that aren't as popular as Sonny Bean.
Mm-hmm. They're equally as interesting, I would have thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, like the Gorbals Vampire or the Fairy Coffins.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're both really interesting and I'd never really heard about them properly before.
It's a good campfire story though, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Especially because there are caves that you can go visit. It's very visually dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Benane Cave.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. I'd like to go and see that.
Me too. I would like to go there. Although there's quite a lot of arguing over which cave is actually Sonny Bean's cave.
I mean, that's fair. Well, that was wild.
Reeling. Your eyes are wide.
Yeah. This is one of those finishing the episodes without me having much to say because I'm just sitting here just wide-eyed and startled.
But we are going to have the debrief on Patreon. So.
Thank God. I need it.
So if you're interested, you can go over there.
Yeah.
We'll give Kieran like 5 or 10 minutes to gather himself. What did you think of the story? What did you think of the episode?
It was a phenomenal story and an excellent episode. 17 coffins out of 17 coffins. Good 1, job.
1,000 bodies out of 1,000 bodies?
No.
How many leeches? Let's ask Samuel Johnson.
two leeches on each of his eyeballs.
Ew! Well, I hope you enjoyed the episode.
I mean, I think I enjoyed it.
As gory as it was.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was a good one. And we shall see you next week.
Yes, we will be back with episode 3.
We shall return upon popular request.
Generally spooky, we'll return. It's at the end of a Bond movie.
Bye.
Bye.